Chapter 2. Our Attitude Toward the Lord's Institutions. To the Brethren and Sisters of the Colorado Conference. In past years, I have written many things to our brethren and sisters in America, in Europe, and in Australia regarding the attitude they should sustain toward our denominational institutions. I am now sending some of these things to you as timely instruction. From a letter written in 1889, I quote, "Those who bear heavy responsibilities in our institutions should be strengthened and sustained by the knowledge that the members of every place are praying for the prosperity and success of these institutions. If the churches do not feel that the work done in our institutions is a most important work, and that the laborers need their sympathy and hearty, intelligent cooperation, this deficiency will retard the advancement of the work. Complaints are not infrequently made in regard to the men who carry a heavy load. Discouragements come upon these men because of the unconsecrated elements in the churches who love to talk and say, 'Report, and we will report it.' This makes more work for the men who are already overburdened. Those who daily consecrate themselves to God and endeavor to hold up the hands of those who bear responsibilities will be blessed of heaven. We are engaged in a great work, and Satan will use all his power to win to his side the very men and women who could cooperate with God in doing a precious work if they were cleansed, sanctified, and guided by the Holy Spirit. If they had warm, true hearts of tender love and gave due respect to those whom God has appointed to carry on a great and important work. The men engaged in the Master's service have often been wounded by those who think and speak evil and create feelings of distrust and jealousy, which should not be tolerated or kept alive by unsanctified tongues. These same principles were brought to the attention of our brethren and sisters in the Iowa Conference in 1902. In a communication addressed to them is the following instruction: Relation of Church Members to Medical Missionary Workers. By baptismal vows, church members have covenanted to remain under the control of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Afterward, under temptation, some withdraw from the influence of the Spirit of God and serve the enemy. They become vain talkers, mischief makers. Instead of healing and restoring, they hurt and destroy. How careful every person who claims to love and fear God should be in regard to the reputation of the institutions that God Himself has established according to His Word. How careful should every professing Christian be of the reputation of those whose work it is to bring relief to suffering human beings. The physician needs calm nerves. Cannot men and women be made to understand that when they are constantly endeavoring to injure and tear down the reputation of the Lord's appointed physicians to whom a special work has been given, these servants of God feel keenly the wounds made by their unsanctified utterances? Their hearts are bruised and made sore by the criticizing spirit, the disparaging remarks, the unchristian example and practices of those who should stand as supporters of the men acting as God's helping hand. Many professing Christians have become the agents of Satan, who uses them to criticize and to discourage nigh unto death those whom God has appointed to do a most important work. Many words opposed to principles of truth and justice, many words creating suspicion and distrust, have been spoken. Cannot the poor souls who have been long in the way see that by their course of action they are ignorantly serving the enemy of all righteousness? Can they not see that they are driving successful laborers on to Satan's battleground to become the sport of temptation? Many of these reckless talkers do not know what they are doing. They cannot see that their words discourage the ones whom God has appointed to represent Jesus Christ and His truth for this time. In relieving suffering humanity, consecrated physicians are doing the work of the great Restorer, who has said, "Inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me." Matthew 25, verse 40. Let those whose lips are unsanctified realize that for their own soul's interest they should now be converted in order that their words may be a savor of life unto life, and not of death unto death. It is time that the vain talkers reformed. Let each one begin to reform, and build over against his own house. Let every church member lighten the burdens and encourage the hearts of his brethren by holding up their hands and strengthening them to do God's will.